Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous: A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 6th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 83, the second paragraph. The spiritual life is not a theory. Through one paragraph ending would make a skeptic out of anyone, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. This morning's readers are The 12 Steps, Patty F., The 12 Traditions, Tamara C., and our readers of the text are Susan G. and Tony B., and our newcomer reader is Reva P., and second hour host, Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 5th, are the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,225, that's 22225, and 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,227, that's 22227. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
And by the way, anyone who is not Patty, sorry, Patty, anyone who is not Patty F., please press star 1 to mute your phone. It sounds like some folks might be unmuted. Okay. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay. Good morning. This is Patty F. from Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty F. And then I will now ask Tamara C. to read the 12 traditions. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, thank you. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We'd always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Tamara C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the chapter Into Action. On page 83, the second paragraph, the spiritual life is not a theory, through one paragraph ending, would make a skeptic out of anyone. And I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. Actions speak louder than words, for sure, and humility is really my guide here. I can talk all day long about how I'm going to change, and I often did. I made those promises that, I'm not going to spend the family budget anymore on all this excess food and put us in jeopardy, financial jeopardy, et cetera. But I've learned that, you know, I don't need to urge. I don't need to talk incessantly now about my new design for living, you know, this spiritual life, this fourth dimension. It's my behavior that needs to change, and I can't do that alone. I've got to have my higher power's help and guidance to transform me through these steps. And I used to be so overbearing as a parent that one of my daughters chose not to speak to me for over a decade. And I thought there was no way I would ever be able to amend that. And here we are in step 9, making amends. And when I got to step 9, I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know how to convince my daughter for us to reestablish and move forward in a relationship. And, you know, the good guidance of sponsors and fellows here, like, write her a note. Tell her you owe her deep amends, and then get to amending. So one of the ways I did that was I put on my calendar once a month, have I checked on my girls? And I wrote a letter. I sent care packages, told her I loved her. And she didn't respond to me for months. not a word, not a peep. And what I learned from that is that I have to change. I have to show up as a loving, supportive mother. That's my ideal. And today, or any day, she or anybody doesn't have to change for me to be happy. I begin my day satisfied. That's why I show up at this meeting every morning, because I'm here to be someone who I always wanted to be, and I learned how to do that. So I'm grateful to say that we do have a relationship now, and she is changing. Just like it says here, they will change in time. Well, it does take time, and sometimes a long time. And so I'm really grateful. There's so much to share on this paragraph that I could think of. So that's what came out today. So I hope that was helpful to someone. It was helpful to me to read this paragraph. And, of course, pen in hand, paper ready. Can't wait to hear the shares today. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. in Tennessee, for getting us started this morning. And do value your experience. We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning on this paragraph?
Elizabeth D.
Rivka R., Baltimore.
Rick J.
Gotcha. Elizabeth, Rivka, and Rick. Who else?
Bonnie.
That's Sandy and Bonnie. Take a couple more if anybody else wants to get in on this first lineup.
Blanca BG, Central Florida.
All right. So let's start there. I've got Elizabeth D., Rivka R., Rick J., Sandy S., Bonnie B., and Blanca BG. So if you are not Elizabeth B., please press star 1 to unmute. And Elizabeth, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth D., recovered compulsive overeater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for your service. And for always being, this meeting is always here for me, and I'm so grateful, 5 days a week. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. I love this paragraph. It means a lot to me because I got married last September to a wonderful man, and we met 6 years ago. We've been together for 6 years, and we got married on Labor Day weekend this past year. And it's my first marriage, his second. And he, I've been always been a religious person and pursued the spiritual life. And this program, the 12 Steps of OA, brought me to a deeper level of spirituality and to a personal higher power whom I call God, in a way that has deeply enriched my life and made it possible for me to be authentic with a person like this wonderful man. 6 years ago, when we first met and we were beginning to date, he told me he was an atheist, and he was afraid that that was going to be the deal breaker. And at the time, I was recovered, and I thought to myself, you know what, it doesn't matter what he believes. What matters is what I believe, and what matters is what I live. Do I live my beliefs? That's what matters. And I was able to be authentic with him, and over these past 6 years, I have found him to be deeply humble and honest and huge integrity and intelligence and kindness. And I see no reason for him to change. So I'm not disagreeing with this paragraph in any way. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't need to talk incessantly about my faith, either my religious faith or my spiritual faith. We live together in harmony because I work my own program on a daily basis. And he lives his values. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the skeptic issue. We must remember that 10 and 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic of anyone. My daughter, who I raised on my own, who's now in college, she can be a skeptic. And when we go out to eat together, just the two of us, or really any time, she's watching what I eat. And if I deviate in the least, she looks at me a funny way, or she asks me, so are you able to? She knows the difference between my behavior when I am in the food and when I am out of the food. And she likes me better entirely abstinent. And the reason for that, because I am happy, joyous, and free when I am entirely abstinent, one day at a time, and I'm living these steps to the best of my ability. I do not do the steps perfectly. But my food is entirely abstinent.
Elizabeth, that's time.
And I do my best every day to live these steps, and I'm very grateful for the life that that's given me. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. in Massachusetts. And then next up is Rivka R.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Lindsay, for your service and everyone's share so far. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And, yep, that first line, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. So living a spiritual life for me is really about where I put my focus. Like, if I put half the focus I had on food, on God, I'd be living a really spiritual life. A number of years ago, I was at a lecture in someone's home, and we're all sitting around a large table. And during the lecture, someone comes in with this tray of healthy homemade chocolates. And, well, that was the end of the lecture for me. Like, all I could do the rest of the time was figure out how I could eat those things and how many minutes I would have to wait to appear normal before I took another one. And it was agony waiting those minutes. Like, by the end of the lecture, I'd finished the entire tray by myself. So, yeah, there's no possibility of a spiritual life without abstinence is the bottom line, because otherwise there's no space in my brain to focus on God. And why do we have to live it? Because although, thank God, God rewired my brain, the old riverbeds are still there. And if I'm not taking certain actions, they'll reactivate. And then I'm at the mercy of distorted thinking, and then I'm not safe, nobody's safe. Like the last, speaker said, like one of my kids actually said to me, like, Mommy, when you're not following your program, I don't feel safe. That's pretty powerful. So what does it mean to live a spiritual life today? I think I can really sum it up in one word, and that's connection. Like, addiction led to a life of total disconnection. I was disconnected from myself, from others, from God, and I'm human, so fear and insecurity and feeling like a failure can, like, push me straight into disconnection. But living a spiritual life means noticing when I'm in that state and then taking responsibility for my inner state, without resentment and blame, and taking the actions that lead back to connection. A couple of days ago, my, failure button got pushed, and I had a deep, deep disappointment around something, and the feelings were really painful and difficult. And, like, did that mean I wasn't living a spiritual life? No. I did work around it. But I just had to let the feelings be and keep taking action. And after a day of being really uncomfortable, I realized I need a different prayer around this. Like, and I started to pray, please, God, don't let me lose my joy and connection over this. Help me accept that this is exactly the way it needs to be for my benefit. So living a spiritual life today for me means focusing on my mission. Every moment that I surrender and focus on God, I'm fulfilling that mission. And with abstinence and the 12 steps, I can trust and rely on God today. And that's where I experience true joy and true freedom. So thanks so much, everybody, for being here. And I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. in Maryland. And then next up is Rick J., followed by Sandy S., and then Bonnie B. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And this paragraph, I'm looking at that first sentence too, the first two sentences, and it contains, you know, one of the most powerful musts in the big book for me. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And in my mind, I see if I have to do something, that's the same as I must do something. If I want what you have, and I'm willing to go to any length to get it, that is. So, and I rearrange these words a bit. For me, it's I have to live the spiritual life. I do. I must live the spiritual life. And it's telling us, you know, we ask each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And just like the previous share, you know, was saying, it's, you know, it's about connection. It truly is. And what we've been going through with this personal house cleaning, for me, it's that part that I have to do continuously, you know, to stay in connection, and that's release the things that are blocking me from my higher power. And, you know, and we started having a spiritual experience, you know, after we did the fifth step. We were, you know, we were connected to another human being doing that. And now, you know, we are connected with human beings as we're going through our, you know, making our amends to them. That's very powerful. That's, for me, that's where that, you know, that transformation truly starts happening, is that that dynamic between me and another human being. It's so overwhelming for me to experience that, because for years, you know, in the isolation of my addiction, you know, and that despair, I had no connection. I mean, I was around a lot of people, but I had no real connection. And, you know, I don't want to end up like Jim, who failed to enlarge his spiritual life and ended up thinking it'd be a good idea to put whiskey in the milk. And then, of course, it was one more trip to the asylum for Jim. And, you know, there's a bottom below the bottom we know. I know there's another bottom waiting for me. And I have to keep releasing the things that are blocking me. And I have to, you know, live in connection to the best of my ability, because this is a spiritual program of action. It is. It's all about that, you know, the spiritual life, the world of the spirit, spiritual program of action. And we find out later that, you know, we're not cured.
Rick, that's
we're
time.
We're certainly not cured. And we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of the spiritual condition, or as I think of it, the spiritual connection, my spiritual connection. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. in North Carolina. And then we've got Sandy S., followed by Bonnie B. and Blanca BG. Good morning, Sandy, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Sandy S. It's Sandy with an IE calling from, actually, my permanent residence is Asheville, North Carolina. Wow. Something kind of miraculous has happened to me, and, like, I'm so was in terror because of it. Just my husband, who is absolutely everything to me. I mean, God's gift to me. He died a year and a half ago. And, like, I wanted to meet the first soulmate. I had the experience of a light experience where I became abstinent. And that, you know, that was just a year relationship. But then my husband was like 32 years. And I was saying, God, is there a third soulmate out there for me? And I just met him like a month ago, and I'm living in his house with him now. We're up to day 14. I mean, I'm keeping track. But we knew right from the, it was terrifying, like right from a phone call, like I just, it was weird. And the both of it, he was married for 50 years and his wife died, and I was married for 32 when my husband died, and we were both looking for our next soulmate. I mean, like, how does that happen? So I am terrified. I got to say that. I am totally terrified. So what I, you know, because, like, how did this happen? Like, no, this is impossible. You know, how could I be so happy and terrified at the same time? So I am in totally living the spiritual life. I have never been praying so much, because I don't know how this happened. I really don't. And I definitely want to bring joy to this person who is such a good fit for me. So, yes, I thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's all I can say. And I just don't want the thank you to be words. I want it to be actions. And it's, God, what is the next right action? Just keep me in the now and show me the next right action. And it is very hard for me to deal with good things. It's the hardest thing for me. I could deal with failure. I could deal with rejection. But don't give me good things. I mean, because then I can lose them. You know, so I have to just keep praying for God to restore me to sanity, because it is sane to enjoy life. I mean, it is really sane. And I just want to say I'm 77 years old, and to meet the third love of my life at this age is definitely a miracle. And my mantra is, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. And the real miracle is for me to experience real inner peace and loving connection. That is a miracle, and to relax in it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S. from North Carolina. And then we've got Bonnie D. followed by Blanca B.G. Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thank you, everyone, for the beautiful shares. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered today, living in the state of Florida. Honing in on the same couple of sentences, a spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it, and I put behind that, or I will die, and I will take others with me. And the spiritual life for me in my program is, I mean, people have summed it up so beautifully, I have to stay connected to God. I have to release everything that doesn't sound like God. I listened to a podcast once, and the person had said, instead of asking yourself, what am I feeling, ask yourself, what are these thoughts telling you? And then ask the question, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? Because all of it for me, as far as like my spiritual life, and I came into the program with a very solid faith. And so I would say, I hate to say I was religious maybe, but I had a solid faith. I had a God. But this program has so deepened that for me, because it takes it down to that gut level action. Like if I'm not living in that state of peace, it's like, for me, it's either, life blessing, death cursing. It's either like peace in my head or monkeys on crack. That's how I know the difference between whether or not I'm connected to God. That's how I know if I'm blocked. And there are casualties. At one point not long ago, the question was asked of me, you know, what does your husband think of your 12-step program? And he was in the car next to me, and I said, he's sitting right here. I said, baby, what do you think of my 12-step program? He said, everyone loves your 12-step program. This is that connection to God. I show up different. I used to be the one that was incessantly telling everyone what I thought they should do, how they should do it. And now I live in a space where I know they're outside my hula hoop. None of my business what they do. The only thing I need to do on a daily basis, and this is with intentionality, and this is sometimes for the next 20 seconds, is stay connected to God. Allow him to change me on the inside, because if it's anything outside of an inside change, it's simply behavior modification, and I know that lasts for about 15 seconds. Ask him to change me on the inside, and then I get to live out this thing I call program, and everyone else gets to do whatever they want. And I do think as time goes on, God will do for them what he wants to do for them. But it's separate from me. And so I'm so grateful for each of you and for this beautiful program, and I will pass with that. Thanks again, Lindsay.
Thanks, Bonnie B. in Florida. And then we've got Blanca B.G., and then I'll take another lineup of folks to share. So good morning, Blanca.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator, for taking the program. Good morning, brothers and sisters in program. You know, this is so important and so beautiful, so beautifully expressed in the Big Book. And living the spiritual life, it means a few things. It means a lot of things, but the most important, it's for example, for me, it's picking up the phone and calling my sister because it was more important to make peace than to be right. And we hadn't spoken in 8 years. And as a result of that, of my putting my pride down and cleaning up my side of the street and apologizing for my part of the argument, so many wonderful things happened. I was able to go to my niece's, her daughter's wedding, and my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandchildren went, and we had a wonderful time. And all I did was sat there thinking, oh my God, look, here's the miracle. It's so true. This is a miracle. It also means, before putting my two cents into an argument, asking myself, is what I'm about to say going to help the situation or hurt? Is it going to bring me closer to these people, or is it going to alienate me more? Because I don't often think before I speak. That was a big problem of mine, you know? And that's part of living my spiritual life. And one that's very important, something that's so important to me, and it's true, you can't just, you know, you have to live it. Knowing that I can't have faith and fear. You know, just knowing and trusting that the universe knows what I need and my needs will be met. Faith and fear, for me, it's impossible to have both. And one of the more importantly, something that's helped me so tremendously is my life. And I learned that, especially when things like my husband passed away.
With this huge,
it is now time to take another lineup of folks to share. Let me remind everyone where we are this morning. So we're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 83, the second paragraph.
Are we on?
The spiritual life is not a theory. Through one paragraph ending would make a skeptic out of anyone.
Hello?
Yeah, there's some people need to hit star one. We're not hearing anything from anyone.
Thank you for saying that because I heard that.
Rick is right. We're not hearing a thing.
Can you all hear me? It's Lindsay. I think I'm back.
Yes. Yes, Lindsay.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. I was like, that's no one wants to share. Okay. Well, now I'm now going to take another lineup of folks to share. Sorry about that. Who would like to share this morning?
Amy G. from Boston.
Amy, got you, Katie. Amy G. Amy, got
you. Did you get Nancy?
I got you, Nancy, now. Yeah. Katie, Amy, Nancy. Who else?
NWH.
Gotcha, Ken. Anybody else want to get in on this lineup? You definitely have the
Natalie,
time.
Natalie S.
Gotcha, Natalie. All right, let's go with this. Katie G, Amy G, Nancy P, Ken W H, and Natalie S. Good morning, Katie.
Tell us where we are.
Hey, Lindsay. Thanks for taking the meeting. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry to be annoying. Okay. KDG recovered in Boston. I guess the line that's hitting me this morning is our behavior will convince them more than our words. 10 or 20 years of drunkenness, et cetera. So what does that mean for me today? My behavior is going to convince them more than our words. Well, you know, in the last 10 years that I've been married, I have given my husband a lot of words about how I'm going to change, about how I'm committed to this 12-step way of life, about how I practice honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what I say anymore. Like, what you're doing is so loud, I can't understand what you're saying, right? And so for me, you know, example, my husband had to give me some feedback about a really big situation that's going on in my life and a blind spot that I had. And he gave me that feedback, and instead of snot-nosed, messy crying and asking him to fix it or yelling at him or reacting, I was able to hear what he had to say, calmly ask for clarification, and then process it elsewhere. Like, I didn't need to drag him through the mud of my emotions, which is what I would do. Like, I didn't understand how to practice kindliness, patience, tolerance, and love. And what else does it mean? It means that when a person offends, I say to myself, this person, like me, is spiritually sick. Help me to demonstrate the same kindliness, pity, and patience. But again, I have to demonstrate. Like, this is all theoretical. Vision for you is just a big theory, right? Like, what happens when we get off the phone, right? What happens when my kids need me and I want to do something else? Well, God is telling me it's actually time to take care of my kids, right? And I can fight against that, or I can surrender to that. I also think it's important for me to remember, like, these instructions are what most people do without a big book, right? So what I mean by that is, my husband doesn't need a big book in order to practice kindness, patience, tolerance, and love. So me telling him all about, you know, how I live this way of life and blah, 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 well, you know, he's already living that way of life. He doesn't need me to tell him more. And I love that line too. Like, I may be the only big book somebody ever reads, right? Like, people aren't going to remember what I say. They're going to remember how I make them feel. And if you know me, you know I've had years as a porcupine, right, where I really stung other people. And thanks be to God, I've gotten softened today. I'm not perfect, but I sure am a lot different. And I'm different because of this 12-step way of life, because it is a treasure map that has led me to God. And that is where my value and worth comes from. And when I know I'm a daughter of God, right, God is love, and I can treat everybody else with love. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lindsay.
We lost you, Lindsay.
Lindsay, hit star one.
Lindsay, we don't hear you.
Okay, I'm back. Thank you for letting me know. I guess I keep getting muted. All right, so thank you, Katie T. from Massachusetts. Next up is Amy G., followed by Nancy P., and then Ken W.H. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Lindsay. This is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you so much for your service and everyone for the meeting this morning. When I think of this idea, we have to live it, I went back and looked up live. I mean, what's the definition of live? And it's to be alive, to perform vital function. So the spiritual life for me is a vital function in this program. My children have never seen me in relapse. My husband has never seen me in relapse in the actual addiction, but they have certainly seen behaviors that I would prefer they not have seen. So am I practicing the principles of this spiritual program on a daily basis to the point that it becomes like breathing to me, that it's a vital function of my everyday life, right? Doing regular things regularly when it comes to my spiritual program. Am I praying? Am I meditating? Am I working my step 10? Am I apologizing? I can tell you some of the biggest growth that I have had with my adult children is when I apologize for behavior. Because I am human, right? Pray to God, row to shore, but I'm always going to be human. And when I make a mistake, what has impacted them the most is to say, I'm sorry, and then try to change that behavior with God's help and these 12 steps. it is an incredible instruction manual for life, but I have to use my spiritual program like regularly, like a reflex. It has to be worked in a way that it becomes a habit and a ritual. And then I reap the rewards of this awesome and wonderful program, peace, serenity, joy, and most of all, relationship with others around me that I love and care for. And maybe sometimes even those that I struggle with as well. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy G. in Maryland. And then next up is Nancy P., followed by Ken W.H. Good morning,
Hi,
Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in Western Massachusetts. So, you know, I had to live it, you know, live this life that I didn't know what was going to happen to me. You know, when I finally called, you know, got a sponsor and asked for help, and I did what I was told. You know, all I did was shut up and do what I was told. I didn't, you know, go through the book, and she would say any questions or comments, and I'd say no. And the reason I said no is because I had slapped my jaw, pretended to be an expert, pretended to know everything, and didn't pretend, I actually thought that I did. And, you know, I got some pretty tough knocks in my life, and, you know, I thought, I didn't know that I was a tornado. I thought it was the great clean wind coming off the mountaintop that Bill talked about. I thought that was me, and it turned out that I was like a tornado, a monsoon, and a sandstorm in the Gobi Desert, and wreaking havoc everywhere. And, you know, I didn't know how to do good. I didn't know how to live this kind of life. And, you know, I don't pray or meditate or anything, and I don't care about God, but I believe, in my opinion, is the only one that counts, is that my life is entirely spiritual today. And the way that I know that, the reason that I believe that, is because I stay in constant contact. Sorry, I'm on the phone again. I stay in constant contact with other people. And the way that if I feel the slightest bit of what I call mental disquiet, it's time to pick up the phone again. And, you know, in the very, very beginning, if I wasn't working, sleeping, or taking care of my family, like at the dinner table, I was on the phone. And I still am. I make a lot of phone calls. I talk to a lot of people. I want to be available. I get a lot of phone calls. You know, I'm always, if I can possibly be available, I'm available. And I was just telling somebody the other day, I made a phone call to some woman. I can't even remember her name, and she was going through a tough time, and I said, look, I said, you're helping me way more than I'm helping you. I don't know about you, but I feel like $1 million. And she said, yeah, you know, she felt better too. The action of engaging with other people breaks my isolation, breaks my loneliness, breaks my fear, so that my feelings don't own me. It's true, fear cannot live where faith abides. But I do get afraid, and it's not so much that I'm afraid of them, which and I don't like being uncomfortable. So what do? I can't sit in my skin. I can't expect anybody to help me. I can expect my lived experiences that when I talk to other people, when I just, you know, treat this ability to engage with other people as a life-saving elixir, excuse me, a magical elixir that has magical healing properties. It does just that. And I have one thing and one thing only to ascribe it to. And everybody knows. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. And then we've got Ken W.H. followed by Natalie S. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Grateful to be here and thankful for this paragraph. The spiritual life, call it faith in another word if you'd like, got to live it. Well, it wouldn't be called spiritual life if I wasn't living it. It's active, it's organic, it's just it's life. It has inertia. It just moves forward. And I want to be in that. I want to be a part of that. And it starts with surrender and becoming aware that I need something outside of myself to make a way through this. The spiritual life is not a theory. I want to live it. And it's in italics, we have to live it. Yeah, in one sense, I have to live it if I want to survive. But I've come to the place through the nine step that we are. I've been through them all, but right now we're at past the ninth step, ready to jump into the tenth. And I want to live this spiritual life. And as a result, I change. I have been changed. I've been empowered to not eat the way I used to. I've been empowered to not behave like I used to. And I take this as all response to the great gift of the spiritual life that I now lead, and the spiritual life, the faith that I've been given by a power greater than myself, to be of some usefulness to God and to others. It's all response to that beautiful gift of God's love and God's desire and design for my well-being. He wants me to be the best I can be. It's all response for me. I don't have to do this anymore. I just want to do it so much. It's become a part of my life. There's another spot in the book that says that faith without works is dead. That doesn't mean I have to work my way into faith. It simply means that because I have faith, I have a spiritual life, I've been given this incredible grace, that now I want to go out and live it and share it and have you all just scoop it right up and live into it. That's all I have. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Ken WH in North Carolina. And then we've got Natalie S, and then I'll take a couple more to share. Good morning, Natalie, and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Good morning, and thank you. Yep, this is Natalie S calling from Indiana, recovered compulsive overeater. And what really struck me about this this paragraph today that kept screaming at me was how much my spiritual life depends on me accepting who I am in relation to my higher power. That's kind of what my God has been working on me with, because I know when I feel the feelings and get, I would say, when I wobble on the balance beam a little bit, I'm grateful for the steps and the actions that we can take. And really, when I talk to other people, someone yesterday shared with me that, you know, any disturbance reminds me of how powerless I am. And if I can remember and be reminded how powerless I am in any given situation, then I can resume my right place with my higher power, which I call God. And when I do that, His power becomes available to me. And so I can't even get on a spiritual plane until I get to the place where I'm humbled enough, which this disease did, where all I wanted to do was beat myself up, prove how unlovable I was. And by the way, I'm going to improve in the meantime how unlovable you are, but I'm going to look really good doing it, because I'm going to, you know, kind of make myself look good, but I'm going to put you down anyway or create havoc in your life. And I'm learning more and more that, as others have shared, that the more I sit back and just resume this way of life and know how powerless I am and pray and connect with that spiritual power, I don't have control over any outcome. And there's a lot of difficulties in my life, and I want to know right now, but by His grace and mercy, I'm able to sit here and accept not only who I am, I'm able to say, okay, I am lovable. I may not believe it initially, and I didn't believe in living a spiritual life initially either, but it's almost become, over the last couple of years, it's oxygen. If I don't have my oxygen, I'm going to die. If I don't have this program, I'm going to die, and I'm going to bring, as somebody else said, other people down with me. So, so grateful to be able to hear this. And all of you every morning. I don't always get on, but I appreciate all that you share, and I've learned so very much. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie S. in Indiana. And we have time for two more shares, so who would like to take those spots?
Jane S. in New Hampshire.
Maisie C.
Jane S. and somebody C.
Maisie.
Maisie. Okay, that's who I heard. So let's go with Jane S., followed by Maisie C. Hey, Jane, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire, and I'm very grateful to say that I'm recovered today from my compulsion to overeat, living in a peace and serenity and a freedom that I've never had in my life. It's just absolutely amazing. Thank you, God, for that, and thank you, Vision, and thank you for the OA Fellowship. And thank you for the big book and the 12 steps. And my current sponsor who took me through this last time, after 16 years in and out of this program, when I got to step 6 and 7 this time, I was given some homework and an assignment that I carry through into my spiritual life today. And I just went through it with God this morning. And I have a little cheat sheet. I call it honoring my recovery. Not fit spiritual condition, but maintenance of my spiritual condition, because I have to work it every day. And it starts with my prayer to my higher power in the morning and just acceptance and surrender. And then, you know, I have a list of things that I want to aspire to. I live in my offices today. And I had to do all the work first. I had to get in and clean my house entirely, which I really had not done. I had to get rigorously honest with myself and God and other fellows in this program, especially my current sponsor. And I worked through the steps quickly this time and honestly and deeply in a place that I had never been before. And when I got to my 6 and 7, she helped me to see that, you know, writing out my ideals and living in my aspire to living in the ideals and the opposites of who I used to be, you know, getting rid of those erroneous beliefs that I heard this weekend. It was so beautiful. I don't have to live that way anymore. And, you know, it is my behaviors and it is my actions today that show through. And in all my years of being in and out of this program, I've never, like, come to a place where I could be of service on meetings. I actually am having people call and wanting me to speak. It's like, that blows my mind, but I guess what that is showing me is that God has brought me to a place now where he's continuing this transformation in me that other people are seeing. My children are seeing it. My gentleman friend, who I spend life with every day, is seeing it, and it's by taking the action and by spending my quiet time in the morning with God and seeking God throughout the day, practicing humility, being self-sacrificing, working with others, making my outreach calls. I love to make my outreach calls. Sometimes I feel like they're a pain in the butt, but they're not. And every time I pick up the phone, it's just such a beautiful thing to connect, because I connect to God that way as well. So I just want to say thank you all on this meeting, because you have taught me and continue to teach me one day at a time how to live a new life. And thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you, Jane S. in New Hampshire. And then Maisie C., we have 2 minutes, so please take us out.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and thank you, everybody, for being here. I tell you, I love this meeting. A lot of times I can't cheer because I got a puppy and he's like a 2-year-old, when I get on the phone, he starts up. Anyway, I am grateful to be here. I am a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so grateful that I got into program and that I realize I have a loving God. I always believed in God, but I didn't believe God was there for me because of my childhood being told, if you're not good, God's going to punish you. Terrible thing to say to a kid. Somebody's unmuted. Please mute your line. Thank you. It's God all the way. You know, I have very bad vertigo, so somebody's unmuted. If they can't mute, I'm going to have to pass. I lost my train of thought. But anyways, I'm so glad today that I know I have a loving God, and no matter what, all he asks of any of us is to be the best version of ourselves, and that's what I'm trying to be. I was always trying to keep up with somebody. Oh, well, they have this food. They do this. They do that. And you know what? We're all individuals. We all have our own plan. And I had to learn that the hard way after losing my abstinence many times. And then I did go to a nutritionist, and I do have a sponsor, a loving sponsor that's very tolerant of me. I'm not accurate every day. I have a busy, busy life, and now with a puppy, and I'm no spring chicken. I'm 75 years old. I'm still working under pain and what have you, but I just know if I keep my food in order, I'm going to be okay. And I heard somebody share that their child knew that they weren't right. And I remember one time when I got back into the sugar, my son said to me, Mom, what's wrong with you? I'll wrap up. What's wrong with you? You were on the beam and now you're crazy. And it was because I was back in the sugar. With that, I pass. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, March 6th, is 22,229. That's 22229. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tony B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lindsay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.